because you didn't get to sit in your seat this morning, and I know it's got you all messed up. Now just relax, everything's okay, you can sit in that seat. In fact, if you look around, you probably see some people you don't know, and it'd be good for you to just shake a few new hands and just to say hello to everyone that's here. Well, I'm kidding with you. We are going to do something fun here in just a few minutes, and we're just thrilled that you're here today. I have to share with you, be in prayer for Larry Campbell. Karen Campbell went to be with the Lord this week, and Karen, you'll remember Karen many times came in recently in a wheelchair and had oxygen that she had to have. She struggled with lung disease, emphysema, things like that. And she went to be with the Lord this week, and she's a lot better off, but we need to pray for her family. Viewing today, 2 to 4 at Hamilton's East, and then Monday at Hamilton's East is the funeral, and I just wanted to let you know about that. Take your worship folder, if you would, and take out your scripture sheet. You need it today, and you're going to write down a few things, and then also take out this little orange sheet. Use it for a bookmark in your Bible. And that orange sheet there says, welcome guest. I've already said hello to you and welcome. But what I'd like you to do is fill that out and be ready to turn it in at the end today. And if you have prayer requests, prayer needs, or praises, then fill that out and let us know what they are. We'd sure love to praise the Lord with you as well. In nearly 30 years of ministry, I've never had anybody come in the office, sit down and say, Pastor, just want to let you know everything is wonderful. I want you to know the kids are healthy and doing well in school. My husband's got a good job. My wife's doing well. And things are great. Her cooking gets better every day. I haven't had anybody tell me that and just praise the Lord. Most of the time people come in when things are a shipwreck. And I just want to say to you, let's learn to praise Him and thank Him when it's good. So tell me about it. I'd love to praise the Lord with you. Prayers, cares, whatever your needs are, we want to know. We pray for you, and we will continue to do so. Have that ready for the end of the hour. Folks, we need to take advantage of Grace Church and what's going on. If you're not a member or connected in the Grace groups, you need to do it. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Number one, decide to do it. Number two, go right through those doors to the information area. There's a place where you can get a sheet on what's going on. There's classes Sunday morning, Sunday night, and all through the week in homes. And we'd love you to be a part of that. And then Wednesday here at church are some tremendous opportunities for growth. Awanas is going on Wednesday, and it's a great place for your kids, and then also some good growth places so that we can learn more of God's Word. Also, we can fellowship together and even be equipped for serving God, and I just want you to take the advantage of what's going on here at Grace Church. I mentioned Awanas, and we have a tremendous crowd of people that are involved in Awanas here, both those that work with them, those that serve. And I want any and everybody, whether you are a member of Awanas or you are serving in Awanas, I want you to stand up right now, just wherever you are. Stand up, all you Awana people, kids, workers. Let's give them a hand this morning. Thank the Lord for the good job they do. Thank you. You can be seated. They had Bible quizzing this last weekend and on Saturday, and we were represented there and did well, and I just thank the Lord for all of those that continually work. In our first service this morning, we had some baptisms, children that were saved in Awana. Now, folks, you see that number up there on that screen. I won't explain that to you. That number is not any kind of a code according to who's misbehaving. It has nothing to do with who I need to zero in the sermon. That's a nursery code. And what that says is that there's a child back there that's number 183 in the nursery, and he needs some attention from his parents. That's what that's about. And I just wanted to explain that to you. Sometimes I think people wonder what that is. That's a code. Pastor Phil's supposed to do this or that. No, it hasn't got anything to do with that. It just has to do with the nursery. And then while I'm on the nursery, I want to say thank God for the nursery that we have and for the people that work there and serve there. They always need help. They always need some people. And if you have children, let me encourage you, of nursery age, child care age, let me encourage you to take and make use of the nursery here at Grace Church. We go to the nth degree at making sure that the people that are in there and working are prepared, that they have been checked out. And, you know, in all of the time we've been working on that, the only person we've had to put out of there was Josh Collier, one of our pastors. Just kidding. Just a joke. But we check those people out. We've spent lots of money. There are lots of trained people back there that work. And then also, it's a great place of service. If you have children, use the nursery. It'll be good for you, good for them, good for our services. Now, folks ask me all the time, well, can't I bring my children into the church service? Absolutely. If you want to bring them in, bring them in. I wish you wouldn't, but bring them in. And if you do, please sit toward the back. If they get to screaming and yelling or whatever, take them out so that everyone can hear. And I said, Pastor, you're being mean right at the first of this service. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to tell you that we've gone to the nth degree to prepare for you and to prepare for those that come so that we can do the best we can in giving out God's Word from week to week. Take advantage of Awana's. Take advantage of Wednesday night. Take advantage of our nurseries. Now, I have a book right here that I want to hold up. It says America's Financial Reckoning Day. We have a wonderful opportunity. Look right on the back of your worship folder, and it says there, Grace Church presents a monetary and world affairs briefing. On February the 8th, on a Friday night, right here at church, we have Charles, I believe his name is Copas, and he is, I think that's how you pronounce it. No, that's his name. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. He is a licensed securities and precious metals broker, but more importantly, he is a Christian apologist. That's where his studies were, is in apologetics for the Word of God. And he is going to be here and he's going to be talking on a subject that anybody and everybody out there in the world is interested in. I want to do two things. I want you as Christians to be well aware of the situation of money and finances in the world. We've been going through stewardship and this is for you. We want you to come, take advantage of it. I have read this book. I've kicked this book, stood on this book, threw the book across the room, got mad at this book, and then finally had to admit it's true and I need to make adjustments. So it's a great book. And if you'd like to have one of them, they're out there. You can buy them. I don't know how many copies there are left after the first service, if any. But I'm sure he will have them when he is here. It's going to be a Friday night. Second thing is I would like you to invite people to come. And you say, why? Well, because people might come to this church on the basis of hearing about money more than they will any other thing that we might say over here. They might not come on Sunday morning to hear me preach about Jesus and His blood. But they might come to hear something like that. It's a bridge event. We're going to do four of these this year. And so use it as an opportunity to get people over here. It's going to be a once in a lifetime. He's hard to get to come. He is coming to be a part. And so I'd like you to be a part of that. I want to announce to you that over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be preaching a series of sermons on how to handle temptation. And I'm going to call it Stop and Think. And I just have a question here. Let's see. All of the people who are males here this morning, if you're of the male gender, and this is a real easy thing to do because there's only two different genders, okay? So if you're a male and you're here this morning, would you please raise your hand? That's good. They've got that identified. Put that down. And if you're not a male, you're a female, would you raise your hand here this morning? That's good. It's not really hard to tell, is it? I mean, I won't go there this morning. I'll leave that alone, all right? So in spite of the world being mixed up, we're not mixed up. Okay, so I would like to know all the males and all of the females that are here this morning. Do any of you ever get tempted? Yes, pretty much 100%. I'm going to talk about what affects everybody in this room for the next 4 weeks. I'm going to talk on a series of temptation. There are people here this morning that you're wrestling with temptations and you're yielding to things that you've been yielding to for years. You've confessed it, come to the altar, you've wept over it, you've cried over it, you've been to counseling, and you know what? The temptation is still there. I want to talk to you about handling temptation, and I want to teach it right from the Word of God. You say, where are you going to go? Matthew chapter 3, Matthew chapter 4, the first 8 or 9 verses there in Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Christ. You say, well, that's not fair, because He was God, and of course He knew how to handle temptation. But in those scriptures, God has given us exactly what to do. You need to hear this series, these 4 weeks, on handling temptation. I believe it'll make an enormous, enormous difference in your life, and it'll help you as you grow. Well, we're just here together, and we're going to have some fun this morning, and you're going to see in a few minutes what this is all about, why these empty chairs are here. Open your Bible, if you would, please, to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And while you're turning there, I want to just read something. Somebody sent me this, and I love it. The top 10 prognostications and predictions for 2008. I have a fail-proof list of the 10 things that are guaranteed for 2008 for every one of you here this morning. All right? These are facts. You can count on them, take them to the bank. This is what's going to happen in 2008. Do I have your attention? Here it is. It's coming up, 2008. Number one. The Bible will still have the answers to life in 2008. Amen. Prayer will still make a difference in 2008. The Holy Spirit is still going to move in 2008. God is going to inhabit the praises of His people in 2008. There's going to be Spirit-anointed preaching in 2008. People are going to sing the praises of God in 2008. God is going to pour out His blessings on His people in 2008. These last three are so precious to me. Today, I'm not preaching a gospel message at all. By no stretch of the imagination am I going to preach a gospel message. I'm going to preach a Bible message. But it's not going to be a gospel message. And you say, well, what have you got to say about that? Well, here's what I want to say to you this morning. If you're here, you've never been here before, and you say, what is this church all about? I want to tell you what this church is all about. Here we are. We're a group of people that are in love with our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and we want to invite you to come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. No matter where you came from, no matter what you've done or where you've been, we want you to know Jesus as your Lord and Master, as your Savior. We want to tell you that Jesus loves you and that He can save you. And that's who we are at Grace Church. We're a place of grace. We receive one and all. Nobody is outside the reach of God's grace, and therefore nobody is put outside the doors of His church. Grace Church. We love you. We're glad you're here. Any one of us would love to sit down and talk to you about how you can know Jesus is your Savior and that heaven is your home and that your sins are forgiven. Any one of dozens of us would love to do that this morning. You say, well, Pastor, you've already offended a lot of people this morning by why there may be people here that do not really hold to the Christian faith. In fact, out in the world there are many. And when you say that you only preach Jesus, I want to tell you something this morning. There is no greater offense that I can give this morning than to stand up here and tell you a lie. And the greatest truth that I could tell you is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father in heaven except by Him. Can I get an amen on that? It's the truth. Jesus died for you. So here's what I want to say to you. Number 8, there is still room at the cross for you. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus still says come. Number 9, Jesus still loves every person. Number 10. Jesus will save the lost. That's 2008. You can count on it. Every one of those things are true. And they will be true for the duration of this year and every year because we can count on Jesus. Stand to your feet. I want to read you one verse from the Word of God. Here it is. This is God's Word. Here's what it says. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me read it again. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now that's what the Bible says. I just wanted to read that to you, and then I want to share with you this morning this last leg of the three-legged stool. We've been talking on stewardship, of how to make a difference in your own finances. And I want to talk today about training your children, the ABCs of money management, what to teach your children about money. Father, bless the teaching and preaching of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated? Now, let me just get right into it this morning. We've been talking about stewardship for a couple of weeks. Some people get nervous if we talk about stewardship for a couple of minutes, much less a couple of weeks. Some people would like to talk about stewardship as much as they would like to talk about a root canal. Or they'd like to talk about stewardship as much as they'd like to talk about going to see the IRS tax man. We are talking about something that God thinks is very important because it's in the Bible so much. You know, when we talk about stewardship, people immediately think about, well, he's just going to talk about giving money to the church. That's just such a minute part of stewardship. But I did hear about three guys telling how they decide how much they're going to give to God from their income. Three guys. And they were having a discussion one day. One guy said, well, that's easy. I just write a check for 10% of everything that I get and I give that to God. And the next guy said, well, I don't know if 10% is enough. He said, I've got another plan, a little unorthodox. He said, but what I do is I want to make sure that sometimes I give more than 10%. So what I do is cash my check, get it in bills. I have an 8-foot ladder, and I get up on top of that 8-foot ladder with all of those bills, and I draw a 3-foot circle, a 3-foot diameter circle on the ground, and I throw the money up in the air, and everything that falls inside the circle belongs to God. And everything on the outside, I assume that he is leaving for me. And sometimes I give more than 10% that way, and that's what I do. Well, the third guy, he was a little more spiritual. And he said he believed all of his money belonged to God. And so he, too, had an idea that he would cash his check, and then he would pray, Father, all that I have is yours, and all that I have has come from you. And I just honor you with the first fruit, the second fruit, and all the fruit of all that you've given me. And Father, as I throw this money up in the air, please keep what you want. Well, there's two of those plans that aren't too good. One's pretty good, and we'll get back to that at another time. But Proverbs 22:6 says this. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's a wonderful verse. It's probably the most often quoted verse in the Bible on the subject of rearing children, and it's a good one. The key word in that phrase, key word in that verse is the word train. You need to underline that, circle it, put stars around it in your Bible. Train up your children. Ephesians 6:4 in the New Testament likewise is often used. It says this, it says, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Don't pick on them, don't prod them, don't make fun of them, don't do things to make them angry unnecessarily. Don't provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the, key word, training and admonition of the Lord. I want to focus on the word train. And the word train has a very simple meaning. I studied it out this week, worked on it, looked at it. And the word train simply means to narrow the scope or to narrow the way to the best way. One of the best ways to train your children and one of the best ways of helping them is by helping them eliminate the wrong ways in life so that what is left is the right way in life. And of course, I have to say, as we get into this morning, there is a right and a wrong way to do things, and there is such a thing as the absolute right and the absolute wrong. Can I get an amen on that this morning? Amen. There's something that is right, and there is something that is wrong. Well, in spite of what might be said, we have to show them, tell them, teach them the best way. We should teach them to clean their room and show them how. We should teach them to mow their lawn and show them how. A boy ought to know how to mow the lawn. We've got a boy in our neighborhood that he is really a character. Evidently, he doesn't enjoy mowing the lawn, and it must be a great task to him because he makes figure eights and X's and all kinds of stuff in his grass. And when he's done, these sprigs are sticking up. I get the biggest kick out of watching that. And boy, somewhere along the line, he just didn't get the idea that work was a good thing. Then we need to teach them how to be good sports. Would it be good if our sportsmanship would return to what it should be? We need to teach our children how to treat their mother, their brothers, their sisters, their fathers. We need to teach children how to teach their teachers and all authority. How to teach police, how to respond to policemen and those that are in authority. We need to teach our children. Now we all know that. Proverbs 22:6 places the responsibility of child rearing squarely on the shoulders of the parents. Let me say this loud, clear, long. Write it down in black ink on white paper. Make sure you never forget it. The responsibility for the training and teaching of our children, the responsibility. I didn't say you may not delegate, you may not seek help, you may not have help in the process, but the responsibility for teaching our children lies squarely on the shoulders of the parents. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We may delegate, we may have tutors, we may have help, but the task is ours. And I could stop there, and I could talk for the rest of the day about responsibility shifting and how we respond. We shift the responsibilities for so many things in our life. But let's just suffice it to say, God has been clear. I have a scripture I wanted to put up now on the screen, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, and here's what it says. It says, in these words which I command you today, can we get that up there? These words that I command you today will be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now, usually and correctly, when we see these verses where we're supposed to daily, regularly, morning, noon, and night, and as we rise, as we lie down, as we walk, we're supposed to train our children, we take that to mean I'm supposed to teach those children the spiritual things of God. And we are. It's correct. We're supposed to teach them that they ought to love the Lord and go to church and give to the Lord, and they ought to love their brethren, and fellow Christians. They ought to love one another, and they ought to do those spiritual things. And we're correct in doing that. But the truth is that that is not all that we are supposed to teach our children. We're supposed to teach them the right way. Every activity of their life is going to involve doing it right or doing it incorrectly. Now, we're not talking about preferences or do I like cake better than pie. Everybody knows that pie is better than cake. I mean, that's not even a discussion. But I mean, we're not talking about that. We're talking about as they make decisions in life, there is a right way to take. There is a wrong way to take. And so we're supposed to do that. Now, I wish that, I really do. I wish, now that I am at a birthday that ends in a zero, 50, I wish that I knew at 18 years old what I know at 50. Matter of fact, I wish I knew at 18 years old what I knew when I was 40. I could back it up further. I wish I knew at 18 years old what I knew at 30. How many of you that are in here 30 years old and up wish you'd like to go back and say, boy, if I could just do that again, I think I would make a better choice. How many of you like to be able to do that? Well, this is true. Boy, experience is an absolute teacher. It is always a good one when you go through these experiences. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, I want to talk to you about the ABCs of money management. I want to talk to you that we're supposed to teach honesty, integrity, and industry, and many other Bible truths, but we're also supposed to teach them about how to handle their money. And so, on your scripture sheet, begin to write things down. And as we begin, I want you to hear this warning. We are teaching many things that our children are gaining and learning, whether we want to or not. Children learn how to talk, how to walk, how to work, how to think, how to learn, how to react. And just about every action and emotion of their adult lives, their first teachers are their parents. Children soak up parents' attitudes. Their attitudes toward work, money, they soak it up like a sponge soaks up water. Stay on guard because you and I are reproducing ourselves in our children. So how do we teach children? Write these things down quickly so that I can get to what I want to do with the kids this morning. Write them down. This is for the adults. Write them down. How do we teach our children? Number one, we teach them by our words. We're supposed to talk to them. That was the Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Teach them. Talk to them. The very word teach and train has to do with the verbal communication. Teach them. And so on. The only communication some children receive from their parents is screaming and yelling and correction. And we need to use the examples from everyday life to point out important truths about stewardship, about life itself, about choices, about consequences. We're supposed to use everyday life to do that. And I want to say here that you teach your children. Your children are going to get your attention one way or another. And the best way to reinforce and get your children to do the right thing is to recognize that they are going to perform to get your attention. They are. Now, if the best way, the quickest way for them to get your attention and get you looking at them is to misbehave, they'll do that. And if you would learn to reward good behavior and reward it when they do the right thing and recognize it when they do the right thing, then they'll do that. They will recognize, they will respond to whatever reinforcement they have, so make sure that we reinforce good behavior. Now, we teach them by our words. And I want you to look at your chapter 22 in the Bible there of the book of Proverbs. And we began by reading one verse. And I want you to know what all is taught in just this one chapter of the book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs is a book. It's not a book of promises. It's a book of Proverbs. They are not promises. They are premises. They are what happens in the normal situation under regular circumstances when we apply these truths to life. And that's what Proverbs are. And so here's what it says in chapter 22, verse 1, about money. It's interesting how much this one chapter says a father speaking to his children about money. And the first thing he says is, chapter 22, verse 1, lots of money is not as valuable as a good reputation. And that's what he says. Money's not as valuable as a good reputation. Then verse 2 says, having lots of money does not mean God loves you more. God doesn't love people. He made both the rich and the poor. His love is not, we don't determine how much God loves us on the basis of our riches. Chapter 22, verse 7, borrowing money can enslave you. Anybody give me a second on that one? That's true. 22:9, God blesses generous people. All of these have to do with money and earning it. 22:13, don't be lazy. Don't make excuses. Chapter 22, verse 16, don't show favoritism to rich people. Don't do that. Don't give people more time just because they have more money or give them more importance. Proverbs 22:26, don't go into debt for another person and depend on them to pay and end up paying yourself. 22:9, hard work pays off. Work's a good thing. How do we teach our children? We teach them by our words. And here's a whole book of the Bible, the book of Proverbs, that is just chock full of good teaching and proverbs and principles that will help our kids that we should be talking to them about. So we teach them by our words. We talk to them. We converse with them. We use the opportunities that arise. Then the second thing is we teach them by our walk. We teach them by our walk. We teach them by the way we live. Saying, don't do as I do as I say do, just will not get the job done. Anybody ever heard that in your life? Raise your hand. Somebody said, don't do as I do as I say do. That's just not going to cut it. That's just not going to work. Children mimic, they imitate, they copy what we do as the parents. And then Mark 7:6, Jesus said something very interesting. He said, well did Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In other words, lip service and performance of just speaking what is the right thing to do without also following it up with your own behavior, that won't get the kids' attention and keep it, because they can spot hypocrisy. I love this verse, Luke 6:40. It says that a disciple is not above his teacher. And we talk about discipleship a lot. And I want to tell you the best laboratory for discipleship in the entire world. The best possible laboratory for making disciples is when mom and dad know the Lord and they teach their children to know the Lord too. That's the best laboratory for discipleship. That's the best scenario. And so, but let me read the verse. The disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained, there's that word, will be like his teacher. A person who's properly trained will be like his teacher. Here's what I want you to see. We can teach what we believe, but we only reproduce what we are. Let me say that again. We can teach what we believe, but we only reproduce what we are. I never told my son or my daughter, I never said that. They learned it somewhere. So we can say what we believe, we can teach what we believe, but we reproduce what we are. We can talk all we want, but a demonstration of life is truly the instruction. Here's something else. How do we teach them? We teach them by our words, we teach them by our walk, and we teach them by their work. Their work. Now let me just let you in on something. Work is not in the list of dirty four-letter words. Now, I'm going to say something here, and many of us have been guilty of this, and I'm going to say this. Anytime that you equate work with punishment, if you have the assumption in your own mind that you having to get up and go to work every day, or you doing anything like that is some sort of pain or punishment in your life, and that you just shouldn't have to work, then you have a completely misconstrued, completely befuddled thought process. Because I'm here to tell you that work is not a punishment. Having work is a privilege. And you may not have the job of your dreams. You may not be getting everything you want. Things may not work out exactly like you would like. But I would like you to know that there are people all over the world today that would do anything if they knew it. They would do any job. They would work themselves to death if they knew there was hopes of some sort of remuneration, some sort of paycheck, some sort of work. People all over the world that would love to work. Work is not a punishment. Work is a privilege. It is not a dirty four-letter word. Let me say something else to you, mamas and daddies. We're talking about training your children. What message do you communicate to your child if the way you punish them is by making them work? You misbehave, so you're going to have to work. You're teaching that child that the punishment for doing wrong is to have to work. So everybody in the world must have done something wrong because they all got to get up and go to work in the morning. That's not the connotation you want to give to work. Now, I don't have time to go in. You can read the rest of this passage of Scripture and read this book, and you'll find out how quickly discipline can be taken care of so that it's not a week-long, month-long, six-month-long process in the life of a child. In fact, most of the discipline in my life when I was a little boy, most of those things that did me the most good were administered within seconds of the time that I did what was wrong. They were administered in a certain spot on my body when my dad or my mom applied the Board of Education to the seat of learning and said, don't do that again. And it's amazing how well I learned. Punishment should not be work, because it's a privilege to work. Teach your children the benefit, the right thing it is to work. And so we teach them by their work. Listen to Proverbs 13:11. Wealth hastily gotten will dwindle, But those who gather little by little will increase. And so if you got a get-rich-quick scheme, it's going to fail. And if it's easy money, if it's easy come, it's easy what? Say it again. Easy come, easy. It's simple. But boy, I tell you what, if we could just learn that. Most children, most teenagers, and even some young adults do not handle money correctly because they have never had to earn it personally, nor have they had to suffer the consequences of foolishness in spending. Proverbs 14:23, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You say, why would this be a favorite verse? Because sometimes you feel like you're not getting anything done. You're spinning your wheels in life. You're working yourself. You're like, I didn't get anything done today. Listen to God's Word. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit. And the profit may be nothing but experience and learning not to do that again. But in all labor there is profit. But in idle chatter it only leads to penury or poverty. Idle chatter. So, the first thing we do, and how do we teach our children? We teach them verbally. We teach them with our words and our works and all of those things. And now then, how can we give our children experience? How can we give our children experience? Now let me introduce to you our very distinguished guest this morning. All the children, 4 and 5 years old, all the way up to the fifth grade, please come take your places right here in these front seats. And I'm so glad to have these kids in here today. It is so exciting to me, and they are now up front, and they're going to take care of helping us with the illustrations of this sermon. And let's give these kids a hand this morning for becoming a part of what we're doing. God bless you. Somebody say, well, what, you mean you take a church service and just really focus in on the children? Absolutely. We're a church dedicated to the next generation. And I tell you what, it's never a waste of my breath, and it's never a waste of our time to focus on the children. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have some fun and teach these children today, and guess who's going to learn the most? Not the children. It's going to be those that are watching. We're focusing on training your children. Teach your children. And I've got some things, some props coming up here right now, and I hope somebody has my primary prop. I did not fetch my envelopes. I don't know who had. Does somebody have my envelopes? Who's got my envelopes from the first service? You'll get them? Oh, you know where they are. Okay. Got to have my envelopes. It's the key prop. Are you my helper today? How you doing there? Isaiah, right? All right. And you are? What's that? Julia. Is it Polson? Okay. Let's have them tell everybody. You are?
Isaiah Wright.
And this is?
Julia Polson.
What's their names? Who is this? Isaiah Wright. And who is this? Julia Polson. Everybody knows who it is, all right? And if you're here today and you're one of the kids that are up front here and you're alive and you're glad to be in here today, raise your hand. Just raise your hand. That's good. You're good? Good. All right. Now we're going to have some fun. You see, we've got all kinds of things up here. And these are my helpers. Oh, this is a completely different group of helpers. I assumed I would have the same ones from the first. So, well, I've got Jennifer Austin, Kathy Polson. I think she belongs to one of these, or one of these belongs to her. And then we've got Judy Chamberlain, and we have Isaiah's mom, Cheryl Wright, and we have Mike Chamberlain. How you doing, Mike? Do not eat up these goodies over here. Can we trust this guy up here with all this stuff? I don't know if we can or not. All right, here we go. And here's what we're going to do. Come on over here, you guys. You got to start right over here. You're going to start right here. Just stand there and wait until I get to you, and I'm going to be there in just a minute. Okay? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to train our children. Ready? First thing we're going to do is we're going to give them the ABCs of money management. These are our kids. What's her name? Julia. And what's his name?
Isaiah.
All right, we've all got it. Here we go. So the first thing we're going to do, write it down on your sheet, A, letter A, acquaint them with income. That's what they need to do. They need to be acquainted. They need to understand money. They need to have some if they're going to be able to learn how to use it. And so they need to learn to manage an amount of money, no matter how much. By the way, I've got one more thing that needs to come in. You guys come on up. I got one more thing that needs to happen. Let's just wait as we got just a couple more items here that got to be part of this program this morning. Yep.
I've always wanted to do this.
Yep, right in the auditorium. Cool. All right. Pastor Paul, we were really amazed that you could still ride a bicycle. We're so glad. God bless you. And it has a flat tire. All right, let's put the bicycles up there. There we go. We got a bicycle on each side, a girl and a guy's bicycle. And they play a part of this morning. So we're going to acquaint them with income. They need to learn to manage some money no matter how small the amount. Now, we can start off by giving them allowance, or we can have them do chores. And then, of course, the older they get, the more difficult and the more hard the chores are. So we got to acquaint them with income. What's letter A? Acquaint them with income. They're going to learn by experience, and so what we're going to do is we're going to give them each an envelope, their salary. They are going to get a salary of $10 a week. That's how much you have. $10 right there. Go ahead and take it out. $10 right there. I am the paymaster. So take out your $10, and we're going to... Now, hold on. You got a little bit of income there. Now, in some cases, your mom and dad might give it to you. You know, I'm getting myself in trouble because a lot of parents probably don't give them anything. And so, well, I'm just teaching. You guys just take whatever you want to learn. So here we go. So you got some insurance. You got $10. You better count it. Make sure. Always learn to count. Make sure nobody gyps you, because you just can't trust everybody in this world, can you? All right. You got 10? All right. Good. $10. So acquaint them with money. They got some money. And then the second thing we're going to do after we acquaint them with income, they're going to have a little bit. And oh, by the way, you get another one of these every week. And our weeks are going to go really fast this morning, okay? I'm just going to be week after week after week. But you get another one of these every week. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and give you that one and that one. That one. Well, they're getting paid quick. How many of you like your weeks to go by at least pay-wise like this? Here we go. That one and that one. I'm going to give you that one, give you that one, and here we go. Matter of fact, I'll give you two, and I'll give you two. Man, that'd be cool. Two paychecks a week, and the weeks are going by quick. Two more, and there we go. One for you, and you guys should be equal. Okay, so don't open up all the others. You just got those right there. Here we go. Acquaint them with income, second letter, B. B comes after A. Acquaint them with income, and then help them budget their income. Now, do you know what a budget is? You do. Would you please teach our adults? No, just kidding. Joke. Isaiah and Julia, a budget is a plan, isn't it? We're going to decide what we're going to do with our money. Now, what should we do? You've got $10 right there, right? And then you've got a bunch more that you're going to be making, but you've got $10 right there. How much do you have? $10. All right. We want to give some to God. Are Christians supposed to give some to God? You know, that's the first thing we're supposed to do. The Bible says very clearly that we're supposed to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of our income, all of our increase. That means we give to God first. So why don't we give God 10%? How much would 10% or 1 out of 10, how much would that be?
1.
Now, I would like it if some of you thought 9, but it won't work that way. But just, here we go. 1. Put 1 right there. Wait a minute. Not you. You're not pink. You're pink. Come over. Put it right there. That's for the girls. And you put your $10, your $1 right there. Okay, we're going to give to God. That's the first thing we're going to do. There's something else we need to do before we do anything else. If you're not careful, you're going to come march. Don't move. You're going to come along here and you say, ooh, I like that house. Maybe I want a bigger one. And you, ooh, I like this food. And they're going out to eat. And here's all these things I'm going to have to buy. And transportation. And boy, stuff out there that we can do is we better decide there might be a future that I need money. Help me. You know, play. Right? Get sick. We're good. You might get a knee. Oh, wait a minute. They bought me. Okay. So, but the point is we better save some. Okay? So we gave some to the Lord. Now let's save some. Put it right there. Put $1 right there. Go ahead. Oh, wait a minute. Right here. Excuse me. Thank you. Come on over here. See? You know where I want you to put it. Put it right there. Save for yourself. Come on over here. Save for yourself. Now, how many you got left? You got how many? You took 2 away from 10. You got how many? And you took 2 away from 10. How many you guys? 8. Did you know we have to live somewhere? Who pays for your house and stuff right now? Your mom and dad do, don't they? Guess what? How old are you? 9. In about 12 years, I imagine you're going to pay for yourself. Did you know that it costs money to live somewhere? Did you kids know it costs money to live somewhere? You don't know? It does. You know what it costs? It costs $2. Let's give this to Jennifer right here. Needs $2. Pay her $2. $2. $2. You just can't get away. You got to pay for somewhere to live. And then over here, we got to eat. Did you know that money costs? That food costs money? Did you guys know that food costs money? It does cost money. All right, now we have a choice. We can go to Miss Kathy's kitchen, and we can eat over here at home for $1, or we can go out to eat at Papa John's, or we can go to McDonald's, or we can go out. And sometimes you do one, sometimes you do the other. But this one costs $2. Did you know? Let me ask you a question. Do you think it costs more to eat at home or to go out and eat? To go out and eat. It does. A lot of these adults do well to learn that. Here we go. So, what would you like to do? We're going to leave the choice up to you. Would you like to go out to eat this week, or would you like to eat at home this week? You eat at home. Give her a buck. What about you? You want to go out to eat or eat at home? You're going to eat at home too. Okay, come on over here. Now, we have on sale today an Elmo shirt. And we got some of those holy blue jeans, and we got a Mickey Mouse shirt, and we got some gloves. Did you know that clothing costs money too? It does. We should take care of our clothing, shouldn't we? You shouldn't lose your gloves at school on the way to school, on the way home. How many of you parents have ever had a kid lose their gloves? All of them. All right, now here we go. So you got to take care of your clothes. Not only that, it costs money. Now, you may not need any clothes today, but you better plan on needing some clothes. So why don't you give her a dollar for the future? Put it in the box. Save it up for clothing, okay? All right, come on over here. How much money you got left?
Four.
How much? Four? Okay, they got $4 a piece. Did you know that it costs money to go places? Gasoline costs money, insurance on the car costs money, fixing the car costs money, buying the car costs money. Now, this guy here, he's got himself a Volkswagen. They used to be cheap. But it costs money. So let's give this dear lady right here $2 for transportation. Never mind my percentages this morning. Okay, here we go. Come on down here. Now then, we get to the good stuff. I got a question for all you kids up here. How many of you kids like entertainment and fun? How many of you like to have fun? Raise your hand. Now, why don't we just take all of that money from down there, come down here, and just spend it all over here? Because it would just be a blast to have fun, wouldn't it? What would happen if you spent all your money down here? You wouldn't have any money for what? For the important stuff. You wouldn't have any money for a house. You wouldn't have any money for food. You wouldn't have any money for clothes and all of that. And so, let's make a decision. What do we want to do here? Do we want to buy anything over here today? What do you want to buy? You want that Audi. All right, where is it? Right here? Okay, you get the Audi. You give her the dollar. Or him, the dollar. What about you? You want to buy anything, or you want to hold on to your money? It's all up to you. What do you think, Julia? I don't even know any of those songs. Go ahead. You do want to? Well, you want Dr. Pepper? Okay, Dr. Pepper it is. It costs you a buck. How much money you got left?
$1.
How much you got left? All right, we got to go for another payday. Come on. All right, here we go. Here we are, right here. Let's get you another payday. Take your money out. Get you another payday. I want you to set yours right. Right here, and his is over there. Get you another payday out. Yep. Go ahead and get the money. That's right. Both of you had a buck left. Both of you are going to add how much? You're going to add 10, right? You're going to add 10? How much you got now? You got 10 plus 1. How much is that? 11? You got $11? You have $11? Okay. We can just skip giving to God this week, right? No? Okay. Let's give God His money. There we go. Boy, that was nice, wasn't it? Smart kids. All right. Wait a minute. We got to save. So let's save a little. All right. Let's give her $2. Got to pay for our housing. That's right. You know what? Are you learning something? Sometimes our money's already spent for us before we ever get it, isn't it? Okay. Give her. What do you want to do today? You want to go out to eat, or you want to eat at home? You want to stay at home again? Okay. What about you? You're going out. What are you going to have? All right. The donkey what?
Donkey
at McDonald's. I know nothing. All right, here we go. Let's put some more money aside for clothing, okay? Give her a dollar. Okay, come on down. And now then, we got to have some more transportation. Another couple of bucks. Gas. car, payment, repairs, blah, blah. Okay, now there's something that you need to remember. Not only is there all of this stuff that's a lot of fun right now, but what do you think about this? Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, you like the other one? Same, okay. She likes this one, you like that one. Now we got that understood, okay? So, boy, everybody likes, how many of you guys like to have a new bike? Notice, parents. Okay, you can put your hands down. Everybody likes to have a new bike, but guess what? How much does a new bike cost? Can you read that? $40. Look in your hand. Do you have $40? Well, are you going to get paid again? Well, how about if Mr. Mike says, listen, you can buy the bike right now. On credit. It'll cost you $40, but every month, it'll cost you just a little more, and the longer you wait, the more it costs. Would you like a bike? Not like that. What would you like to do? If you need a bike, how are you going to get it? Save. All right, let's go back now and get another paycheck. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Okay, guys, I got to cut this short because my time runs out real quick. Let's suppose that we get all our money. Now, I know how much is there. You have how much right there? How much you have left? Four? Three? How much do you have? Two? You know, these guys spent more than the first crowd did. The first crowd was a little bit more conservative. Anyway, here we go. There are 8 more envelopes, so that's 82. And here is $82 that you have. Do you have 3 or 2? 3. You have 83. 83 and 82. Okay? So you've got all this money, and you know that you're going to have to pay all of these people. Every time that you open one of those, you need to give to the Lord, you need to save from some for yourself, and then you need to pay all of your bills. And every time that you get done, you might have just a little bit left over. Now, I want you to understand a few things. What if you decide that you've been waiting long enough and you still don't have that bicycle? And what if 10 weeks goes by and... Is that one empty? Let me have one that's not empty yet. Here we go. What if 10 weeks goes by and this right here has added up another, let's see, $8. Starting to add up a little bit. And you've got all of this money that you've been spending because you have to spend it, and you've got this money, and you're not able to get your bicycle yet. What if you say, well, I've really got to have that bicycle. What if I decide, well, I'm going to get my money out of my savings, and I'm going to take this money, God won't care, I'll take this too, and then I'm going to put it with all of this money, and I'm going to go get my bike because God won't care. Do you think, what do you call it when you take money away from God? What do you call that?
Stealing.
Ooh. Is that a good idea? No, it's not a good idea. And so if we take that out of there, we're taking from God. And not only that, but sometimes when we do that, we also, because we did that, things can get bad. And we can start taking all of our savings and all of our money. And before you know it, we are really in bad trouble. I want to teach you a couple of things here. First of all, I would like you to put this money right in here. And I'd like to give you this. Wait. Is there any of these still has any in them? Aha. This is your real pay for your helping me up here today. Let's give Julia a hand. Let's give Isaac a hand. Isaiah, come on over here. Now, I want to teach you just one more thing, okay? You get the idea? Life costs money. You got to pay for things as you go. The way to get a bicycle is just keep saving. Just keep saving. Keep. And we could get a whole lot more in detail, but I just want you to know the first thing we do when we get our paycheck is we give to God. The second thing is we save for ourselves. I'm going to ask the adults a question right now, okay? How many of you, if somebody would have taught you when you first started earning money to save for yourself 10% of your money, how many of you would be in a different financial situation today? How many of you, if somebody would have taught you when you were a little bitty but child that everything you got, some of it belonged to God, and you should give to God, and you should save for yourself, you'd be in a different situation today? You see those guys? Am I telling them the truth or not? Yes. Hey guys, we give to God, we save for ourselves, and we live on the rest. Now watch. Here's something else I want to tell you. We acquaint them with income, we budget their income and help them, and then we confront them, let her see, with the dangers of money. And here's what I'd like you to know. I would like you to know that you really can't spend more money than you get. Does that make sense? I gave you $10. You couldn't spend $11 until you got more, right? That's the first thing. How many of you adults like that idea? You can't spend more money than you get. Raise your hand. Very good. Second one. You don't need everything you want. How many of you kids out there really do have a big wish list? There's a lot of stuff you'd like to have. How many of you are not going to be able to keep living if you don't get it? Well, no. I mean, we'll be okay. We don't need everything we want. Come on over here to this table. Fun and entertainment. Movie tickets, Sleepy Hollow, Sleepy Hollow. It must be great because it's on there twice. I don't know what it is. Movie tickets, and we got all this stuff, and it's all cool and fun. And it's not that you never buy this kind of stuff, but you never buy this kind of stuff if you don't have money to buy this kind of stuff. You understand that? Because you don't have to have this, but you do have to have what? You have to have this, and you have to have this, and you have to have this. You have to. You understand that? So here's the next thing. You can't spend more than you get. You don't need everything you want. And you shouldn't ever believe that money can buy friends or happiness. It won't make you happy, and it won't buy you a lot of friends. There's a story in the Bible about a guy that was called the prodigal son. You know what he did? I bet you do, because you've been in church a long time. And going to this fella, he told his daddy, "Daddy, I want everything coming to me." His daddy was wealthy. And he said, "I don't want to wait till you die. I want everything coming to me. I just want to go out and have fun." So he got all of the money that would have been coming to him. And you know what he did? He went out to that table and he bought everything he could find, basically. He got his friends, and man, I mean, they threw a party like you have never seen. They partied, and they had fun, and they went to all the movies, if there were movies. And I mean, they just did everything they could do. Before you know it, guess what? His money did what? It ran out. And guess what happened when his money ran out? What happened, Isaiah? He did, but what happened to his friends? What happened to his friends, Julia? They left. Were they friends? No. No, they weren't friends. You can't buy friends. You know what else? He was laughing and grinning and having a big time when all of his friends was there and he had all that money. But just as soon as the friends were gone and the money was gone, do you think he was still laughing? No. You cannot buy friends, and you cannot buy happiness. And then there's one more thing. You can't really take from God. You can try. But if we take from God, God knows how to make us pay anyway. How many of you know that's true? You can try to take from God, but He still knows how to make you pay anyway. Let me read you a verse and we're going to be all done. Listen, kids, here it is. I want you to listen. The Bible says, "Will a man or a woman rob God?" You say, "Rob me? How can we rob you?" In tithes and offerings. And because of that, the whole nation, you're under a curse because you have been robbing me. Oh, we should never do that. Here's how we learn, okay? Here's how you train your children. You teach them. Train them. Show them. Demonstrate to them. Set the example for them. Give to God. This is the simplest thing that you could possibly teach them. Give to God. Save for yourself. Live on the rest. Give to God. Save for yourself. Live on the rest. I dare say that most of the people in this room's life would be totally different if we would have always given to God, saved for ourselves, faithfully, instead of thinking we have to have everything today. Well, I want you to know these guys down here have been attentive. They've listened. They understood. Did you know what we're talking about? How many of you kids know what we're talking about today? I thought you did. And I want you to know that you're fantastic, and we do a lot of things here at this church, including pray, and it's all about you. We care about you, kid. We love you. We're glad you're here, and I can't wait to see what God does with your life. Let's give these two and all these kids a hand this morning. Thank you very much.